Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. God's kingdom first. We start getting serious about that today. The last day of 2024. God's kingdom first. This is going to be the focus of our study today. Then next week we're going to back up and finish where we left off in the middle of this chapter. But today's to remind you the focus for the year. The reason for the year, okay? You want a purpose? This is it. Are you ready for the purpose? Stand. And let's read Matthew 6:33. Let's read it together. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Let's do it one more time with a little more heart. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Our Father in heaven, we just seek you. I pray your will be done. I pray you'd be the focus of my personal life as well as the life of this church and every individual here. I pray, Lord, that you will grow us this year, that you'll give us a heart, a passion, a desire for your work such as we have never had before. And that you will enable us with the strength and ability to serve you as we never have before. We give you all glory and praise and honor, for you are our King. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. 2024 is all about growing. You may get sick of it before we get through 2024, but my goal of 2024 is that I, as well as all of us, are not the same in December as we are in January of 2024. But that we spend this time, or we use this time, take advantage of this time to grow spiritually. I'm not specifically talking about numbers. Numbers take care of themselves. When we grow spiritually, I'm talking about in our walk with the Lord, in our service to the Lord, and for the glory of the Lord. For that to happen, now we need four things to happen, okay? This is still a part of the introduction. Number one, I need you to be intentional, right? Need you to have purpose. It's easy, it's so very easy to come to church week after week. And come to church and then leave church, not think about church or God for that matter, anything else until you have to come back next Sunday. And it's that mentality. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't come to church. I'm saying you have to come to church with a purpose, right? An intent. I'm going to grow. I'm going to church to help me to mature in the Lord. Okay? Everything you do this year, I challenge you that it have that spiritually motivated purpose. I want to grow in the Lord. That's what I'm talking about being intentional. Number two, you got to be personal. You can't be looking around at everybody else and what everybody else is doing wrong and what you think everybody else should be doing, right? No one ever grows spiritually by trying to fix everybody else, right? So, you look at you. You look at you. And let God show you how you need to grow. And if we'll all take it personally, the Lord, change me, then I think we'll all be amazed at the change within this church over the next year. Then I need you to be honest. How many of you want to be honest? Okay, that'd be really good if you would. Okay? Because let's face the fact, you're not perfect. You're not what you should be in the Lord. You are not where you should be. I am not where I should be. Right? And so let's be honest. As God opens our eyes to things in our lives that shouldn't be there or directions we should go, we've got to be honest and say, yes, Lord, I need to change. I need to do better. Right? Don't dismiss it. It's so easy to say, well, you know, I'm as good as everybody else. And you're absolutely right. You're as good as everybody else. Problem is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? We all have way to go. So be honest. Then, don't be a hindrance. Do not be a hindrance. If you want to grow, say amen. Amen. Okay. Now, here's what we all have to understand. What I say and do affects the people around me. If I'm whining and complaining, I'm encouraging others to whine and complain. You know, you've heard misery loves company. That's why we run to others and whine and complain. We just don't do any, it's not as much fun when you're whining and complaining to yourself, right? So we go build up a committee of whiners and complainers. First thing you know, it's spread throughout the church. Well, that stops right here now, okay? And it stops not because I say it stops, but it stops because of the attitude that we all have to have. If I speak it, somebody's going to hear it. And if somebody hears it, it's either going to encourage their spiritual growth or it's going to discourage their spiritual growth. Okay? Now, with that in mind, can we all, as we go into 2024, understand and control ourselves not to be negative and to discourage the growth of other people? Can we do that? Come on. I need a little better amens than that. Because this is one I'll call you on. Okay? When you start whining and complaining, I will probably say, hey, you need to cut that out. Right? Say, preacher, you wouldn't do that. Oh, yeah, I would too. Yes, I would. And you say, well, what if I have something to whine and complain about? Well, there's always something to whine and complain about. Right? There's always something that's not quite right. Always. Right? And as long as there are humans, there will always be things that are not quite right. What you have to understand is you can either build up or you can tear up. Right? And we're here to build up the Lord's church. Need you to have those three attitudes. Now, how are we going to do that? What's it going to take for us to get in order, to not be a hindrance, to be honest and all that? How are we going to do that? Well, first of all, that brings us back to our text, right? And our text says, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, what we're talking about is, of course, to set our priorities. That word seek, it means to strive for, to search for, to desire something. Let me ask you a question. What do you want more than anything else this year? Don't answer. What you need to want more than anything else this year is to grow in the Lord and your relationship with God. I want to tell you, there's nothing sweeter than to know you're growing in the Lord. You know what? I mean, there is just such a spiritual satisfaction there. And the problem is, you know, we're told here to seek, to strive for, to search. The problem is, I've got a want to problem. And we got to fix our want to. Because we don't want the right things. Yes, let's face it, we do what we want to do, don't we? I mean, we make excuses, but we do what we want to do. If you're not faithful in church, you're not faithful in church because you don't want to come. Right? If you don't read your Bible, and well, we make excuses. Oh, I can't understand the Bible. Oh, I don't have time. No, the bottom line is you don't want to read your Bible. Right? And if your prayer life, is not on fire, you spend quality time with God where you know you have been in the presence of Almighty God, it's because you don't want to. You see, all those things require effort and time. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to spend that effort. What we got to do is we've got to fix our want to, quite frankly. Right? We've got to fix our want to. Psalms chapter 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. The idea of that verse is that you make a decision. I'm going to delight myself, or I'm going to take pleasure and satisfaction in the Lord. It's a matter of you making up your mind. It's a command that reveals to us this important fact, and that fact is that you determine what you take pleasure in. Have you ever heard people say, well, I just like that sort of thing? Well, listen, be careful. Be careful. When I was a child, and I still remember the conversation to this day. When I was a child, I got in trouble because my grades were not as they should have been, right? And my dad was giving me that good old father-son talk to. And I remember just blurting out to him, but Dad, I don't like school. And my dad looked at me, and you know what he said? He said, son, you better learn to like it, because there's a lot of it ahead in your future. Learn to like it. You know, sometimes we do need to back up and realize there are things we need to learn to like. Yeah. I mean, there are some things that it's not hard to like. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. There are a lot of things that, man, I just like because it's attractive. I like chocolate cake because it appeals to this flesh, right? Now, I could live on chocolate cake, but it wouldn't be a good idea. But it takes no effort for me to like certain things. But I'll tell you, it takes effort for me to sit down and spend hours in the Word of God. It requires self-discipline for me to sit down and pour out my heart to God in prayer. It requires that, quite frankly, I learn to like certain things. And I'll tell you how you learn to like it. Are you ready? I'm going to give you the secret. How do you learn to like study? You study. How do you learn to like prayer? You pray. How do you learn to like going to church? You come to church. It's pretty simple. But Brother Doug, you don't understand. Yes, I do. See, what you don't understand is I'm human just like the rest of us, and I'm fighting the same battles that everybody else here is fighting. But I also understand that as a child of God, I am required to seek God first before anything else in this life. Before my likes, before my desires, before your likes and your desires, before the world's likes and the world's desires, I am expected to seek God when? First. Seek Him first. Of course, when it says that, it talks about that's before anything else. First in rank and value. First, that I understand that God is so important that before I make a decision, I seek God in that decision. As I lead this church, I don't just decide, oh, we're going to go in this direction. I seek God and seek God's direction before I do anything. And before we will come to that point as individuals, whether it's you or whether it's myself, we've got to understand the value of God as part of this definition. Seek first. You've got to understand the rank and value of God. Why do you work? You work because you value a paycheck. Amen? Right? Why do you pay your bills? You pay your bills because you value the car that you drive, and they'd come and get it if you didn't pay for it, right? Why do you tithe? Well, not everybody tithes. And why doesn't everybody tithe? Are you ready? Are you listening? Because you do not value the kingdom of God. I love you. I do. But if you put your money everywhere else before it comes to God, you don't value God's kingdom. You value everything else. Right? Well, there goes the preacher talking about money. Yeah, listen, God talks about money a lot. And we're going to talk about money a lot in the next few weeks.
I'm trying to get you in the mentality of whether it's the tithe or whether it's the time that it doesn't matter what it is that you consider and you seek God first before you make any kind of decision. You see, we have a messed up value system is the problem. Why don't we come to church more faithfully? Because we don't value it. Why don't we pray? Because we don't value it. Listen, I want you to consider where this world is at this present time. And I'm not, well, it is what it is. In the present world, we have a generation that does not understand what male and female is. In this present world, we have a people who value money rather than God. In this present world, you can't trust anyone. You can't walk down the streets and feel safe. In this present world, there's a lot of things wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of things good in the world, and there are a lot of good God's people. But you have to understand what makes good. Every good gift is from above. Okay? Everything good comes from God. That's why it's important. If I could get you to understand this one thing, God is worth seeking before anything else. Whether you're talking about a college education, whether you're talking about a elementary high school education, whether you're talking about baseball, football, soccer, whatever else we want. The most important thing you can do is seek God before you do anything else. What does that look like? Well, it says seek God and His kingdom, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'm sorry. The kingdom of God. What is meant by the kingdom of God? Well, that word kingdom literally means the domain ruled by a king. You cannot be a king without a kingdom. Okay? Does that make sense? You cannot be a king without a kingdom. So when it says that we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that's what we're talking about. God is the king. This is His kingdom, right? And the king is always the supreme sovereign ruler of the kingdom, right? That means he has absolute authority and he has the right to rule as he desires because everything belongs to him. As a matter of fact, that's kingdom principle number one I want you to get. Okay? Are you with me? Kingdom principle number one. It all belongs to the king. Right? Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Everything belongs to the king. You got to understand this. It's so freeing when you actually get this. Everything belongs to the king. Your money belongs to the king. Your money belongs to the king. Until the subjects get it, I'm going to keep repeating it, okay? Your money belongs to the king. Your house belongs to the king. Your house belongs to the king. Your car belongs to the king. Your kids belong to the king. You belong to the king. As such, when you fully understand this, it is so freeing. You don't have anything. And if you don't have anything, what do you have to worry about? Nothing. It doesn't belong to me. I don't have to worry about stuff. It belongs to the king, which is God, right? I don't have to be selfish with anything because belonging to the king, he can give me what he wants and he can take away what he wants. It belongs to the king. I have nothing to be prideful about because anything I had came from the king and he gave it to me. I didn't earn it. I have nothing. It all belongs to the king. Principle number two. Kingdom principle number two. We are stewards. Nothing more, nothing less. A steward is, of course, a household manager. I simply manage what the king has placed in my care, and I manage it for the glory of the king and the good of the kingdom. Here's where we get confused. Okay? When the king gives us something, he's not giving it to us so that we can take possession of it. He's entrusting it to us that we may use it to bring glory to the king and the benefit of the kingdom. That's where we as Americans, you know, we don't get it. It's all about getting more and more, making more money, having a better job, getting a bigger house, nicer car. And all. It's not. It's about faithfully using what the king has entrusted to us for the glory of the kingdom. That's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, where it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." Right? That's your job. That you manage the wealth that the king has placed in your care. That is talking about your money. That is talking about your children. Did you know your kids are just entrusted to you? Right? Raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Right? I can tell you this, the most important thing in their life is not baseball, football, or college, or anything else like that. The most important thing in their life is their relationship with Jesus Christ. Manage them. Be a mom, be a dad. Tell them yes, tell them no. Point them in directions that they should go. That's being a steward. That's our only expectation. You see, when you understand that, life becomes very much less complicated. Right? You see, you don't have to worry about it. Are your investments going to come in? It's God's. You don't have to worry about how your children are going to grow up. They're God's. You just raise them in the nurture of the Lord. Right? It all belongs to Him. So here's your standard. You got to have a standard. You see, so far, everything we've talked about is pretty abstract. This is where God says, okay, here's your management standard. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That word righteousness, it simply means what is right. But you understand, it's what God says is right. Kingdom principle number 3. God is always right. Okay, if you're going to grow this year, you're going to have to understand these kingdom principles. Kingdom principle number 3, God is always right. If He says it, you don't have to defend it. You don't have to justify it. You don't even have to explain it. God said it, that's the end. Right? This is not a democracy. I love you. I do. But I don't really care what you think. I don't even care what I think. I care what God says. Because, see, our opinions are not important. Our requirement is just to make trustworthy decisions based upon God's standard. Now, what's God's standard? This is where we want to get legalistic and say, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. All that. No, that's not what it's talking about. You know what God's standard is? It's also very simple. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Here's God's standard. Here's how you got to live this year. If you're going to bring glory to the king and you're going to live for the benefit of the kingdom, here's how you do it this year. Are you ready? That was the end of the message, but you're not ready for it to end, so we'll just go on a little while. Are you ready for the standard? There you go. Bless your heart. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." You want to know what's missing in the lives of most of us today? We're not completely sold out. You see, the standard of a faithful steward is when you love the Lord with all your heart. And with all your soul. And with all your mind. You see, there are no more alls left. This is the standard. This is the first and the great commandment, it says. This is how I live as a faithful steward. You know what the second commandment? You only have two to remember. Second commandment is, and you already know it. It's like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the commandments. That's the standard. You say, Brother Doug, oh, there's a lot more in the Bible than that. Yeah, but everything in the Bible is based upon these two things. Love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Every decision that you make should be filtered on those two commandments. Every decision. How is it going to show the love that you have for the Father? And how is it going to show the love that you have for your neighbor? And let's face it, you know, God's pretty easy to love. Sometimes our neighbors are not so much, right? But if we can live, if we can conduct ourselves in this church according to those two standards, that means every time I preach, I'm loving the Lord my God, the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind, and my neighbor as myself. That's you, right? Every time I preach, if I'm doing that, I'm maintaining God's standard. Every time you interact with a church member, if I'm loving God with all my heart and I'm speaking things that bring honor and glory to God, then I'm abiding by the commandment. If I'm loving my neighbor as myself, I'm going to say good things about my neighbor. Why is it? Let me ask you a question. Why is it that, you know, if somebody says, hey, did you hear what Brother so-and-so did? We automatically get in there. Oh, what'd he do? You want to catch somebody off guard? You say, did you hear about Brother so-and-so? And they say, what'd he do? Oh, he... And give them something good that he did. Man, he... You hear about my teacher today? He taught the best lesson. And I'll tell you, we've got some good teachers at Victory. We do. Did you hear about that deacon? You know that deacon at Victory? You know what he did? He checked on me. He called me. I appreciated that so much. Point being, let everything about us reflect our love for God and our love for people. That's the long and short of this message. That's what it means to seek God's kingdom first. Now, I've presented it to you. And I'm going to make this commitment with you. Lord willing, and should the Lord give me the health and opportunity to be here throughout this year, I'm going to seek God's kingdom first as your pastor. Okay? What I would like for you to do is to join me in that endeavor. That means you're going to do it personally in your life and you're going to do it on a church level. Right? And if we do that, I want you to watch what happens in this church. If everything I do is based on the love of God and the love of people, you watch. If everything you do is based on the love of God and the love of people, you watch. We will not be the same church at the end of 24 that we are at the beginning. Okay? So, will you make that commitment with me? One more thing. I've preached about prayer for the last 3 weeks. This week's prayer week. And I want to ask you. Pray, 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 pray. What are you praying for? Ask God to change you and me. You see, I can stand before you today and I can tell you all this good stuff, and then I can walk up there and somebody's going to say the wrong thing to me, and that old brother Doug's going to jump up and here I go. I don't have to take it. No. You see? Pray that God changes us and gives us this heart. Pray He changes you, and pray He changes me, so that we can grow together in the Lord. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we are blessed. You have given us a wonderful church family to be a part of. And sometimes we forget the purpose of our life is to seek You and Your kingdom. So now, Lord, as a church, we come to You. And we just pray, seeking Your will above all else be done. That, Lord, You will change our hearts so that we love You with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. And so that we love one another as we love ourselves. Father, keep us mindful to glorify Your kingdom and to glorify Your name in all things. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.